Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Karen Taylor. Hello, Karen.
Hi.
So Karen's associate pastor at First United Methodist Church here in Jefferson City, and we're going to be talking actually about homelessness today. So Karen, why don't you share a little bit of your background in ministering to the homeless?
Okay. I've had a real interest and passion around homelessness. Before I came to Jefferson City, I was up in Mexico, Missouri, and was part of a group that started Audrain County Shelter Resource Coalition. As a pastor, we often hear from folks who need housing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been one who wants to not just meet the current need, but how do we work to provide resources and help address the root causes as well. And so when I came here to Jefferson City, it wasn't long before I found myself involved in various ways here in Jefferson City that works with those who are unhoused.
Mm-hmm.
So in particular, Project Homeless Connect. I also serve on the advisory board for the Salvation Army. And so those were a couple of inroads into working with those who are unhoused.
Okay. Well, and the idea behind this podcast actually sprang up about a week ago. We had Homeless Connect. In our show notes, we'll have links to the story for those who may not be familiar with the yearly event that's held. Kind of give folks an idea of what it was.
Yeah, so Project Homeless Connect, this was the ninth year for that event. It came up as a grassroots, as a group of folks here in the community wanted to address homelessness. And so it's based on a national model of a one-day event where those who are experiencing homelessness, and we also include those who are housing vulnerable, a one-day event where they can connect with resources to hopefully help them take at least one step toward being housed or being in a more stable situation. I think the event's grown as far as providers, but there are opportunities for medical services the day we're here, they're here. And then there's also a lot of different service providers and vendors. We had over 50 of them this year. So everything from Common Ground, Salvation Army, RACS, Department of Mental Health, all kinds of services that folks could connect with resources. And then as a part of that event, we provide lunch. They could get haircuts, which is always a popular thing.
Right.
And then at the end of their time, they can get a backpack that's filled with all kinds of personal hygiene items, socks, and things that they might need.
Yeah. It's a great program. As you say, it's been 9 years of it, and it's always down here in downtown. They're at basically Capitol and Monroe. The area churches there really have been a big player in it. It's always great to see that crowd and that activity there. Again, check out the show notes. You can see our coverage of it. And let's talk a little bit about homelessness. So how would you define homelessness? I mean, that's a softball question, right?
Yeah, right.
It's so simple.
It's not simple. We often have these preconceived ideas of what homeless is. We think it's a person that's out on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, that is one form of homelessness. But homelessness is folks who are in shelters, who are couch surfing, or living in hotels.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot of different faces to it.
So
we may think we know what homelessness looks like, but it's bigger. And often, it's even somewhat hidden as well.
Well, and it's not stereotypical, like, of a man or a woman. I mean, sometimes it's families.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's families. In fact, at Project Homeless Connect, I was a little amazed at the number of families with children that we saw there at the event this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, those may have been housing vulnerable. I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
But again, the Salvation Army is seeing a rise in numbers of families who are homeless. Another board that I serve on is Transformational Housing, and I get calls for families that are looking for housing, that they're homeless or about to be homeless.
Yeah. So what's the difference between homeless and homeless vulnerable?
What we could call housing vulnerable are those who are really at risk of being homeless.
Okay.
They could be a paycheck away from being out, their utilities, those kind of things.
Sure.
There was one family that I worked with for a bit who was looking for housing, worked a full-time job, had Section 8 voucher, was able to manage all of that, and then her rent got raised.
Mm.
And it put it out of reach of what she could afford.
Yeah.
And so that creates some vulnerability for those who or even that are housed currently.
Right, right. And you touch on something there that I think a lot of folks, again, it's a stereotype. They assume that if the person gets a job, that the homelessness will just go away. But there are a lot of folks who are housing vulnerable or homeless that just don't have a house.
Right, yeah. And even if there's Section 8 vouchers, there's hardly anybody that's renting to folks that have Section 8 vouchers. So those who run the lower income level are really challenged in the current housing market here in Jefferson City.
So for those who don't know what a Section 8 voucher is, what does that allow them to do?
I'm not a real expert on but it is based on their income, and they have a voucher then that they can take to a landlord that helps pay the rent for, the person has to find their own housing. Mm-hmm. So it's not public housing. So it's just rental assistance really for those families.
All right. Hey, listeners, we got a couple things we're pretty excited about coming up and we wanted to share them with you. So we're going to have a bake sale and it's going to benefit United Way. So mark your calendars, October 12th from 2 to 4 p.m. at 210 Monroe. Come out and check out the cookies, cakes, and other desserts that we will be offering. We have another Coffee with the Editor coming up. We'll buy the coffee for you. We'd love to hear your thoughts about what we do here at the News Tribune, offer some suggestions, feedback. It's totally your call what you want to talk about. Our next one will be October 18th from 8:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. It's a come and go event and it's at Capital City's Coffee Zone. That's right. So come join us, say hi to Tazir, have some free coffee on us. So when we talk about homelessness, how prevalent would you say it is in Jefferson City?
Yeah, those are numbers that are kind of hard to get a definite handle on. Mm-hmm. One of the things we do at First United Methodist Church is have folks who come in and we let them take a shower once a week. We have grab-and-go bags, which is basically a sack lunch with non-perishable types of food in it. We let them get mail there. We see a lot of unhoused folks in our church, and we're seeing a definite increase in the number of people coming in and definitely a growing number of new people. On the high end, we sometimes give 15 of those bags out a day. Hmm. We're definitely seeing a rise in the number of folks who are unhoused in the area. And again, with transformational housing, I get calls all the time, especially for families with children that are looking for housing. So there's an increase there of families that are experiencing homelessness or on the verge of that. Mm-hmm. And I know like the Salvation Army shelter is full. It's always full.
Yeah.
And again, the numbers are kind of hard to know because folks are in and out, move in and out, but it feels like it's growing. And even Project Homeless Connect, we had 185 register this year. Mm-hmm. That's about 50 more than last year.
Wow, that's pretty noticeable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you had mentioned to me earlier that you'd been at First Methodist for about 7 years. So let's say 5 years back, I mean, compare. What's different about the homeless community? And again, it's an overgeneralization, I get it.
Right.
But what do you see that's different from 5 years ago to today?
I think the numbers, mostly. And again, families, seeing families that are unhoused feels different.
Mm-hmm.
So those are kind of the big things. And again, I think access to housing, the lack of transitional housing here is a concern. And it's not as simple, again, as they get a job. Because we had folks that were at Jefferson City Room at the end last year who worked a full-time job and was unhoused.
Right. So let's talk about Room at the End. What is that program and is it coming back this year?
Yeah, it is coming back this year and it is a emergency overnight winter shelter. This will be the third season. The focus of that is those who primarily it was started because there are some folks that are unable to stay at the Salvation Army shelter because they have children in their facility. And so, you know, there was this belief that nobody deserves to freeze to death.
Yeah.
And so this shelter was started as a way to reach out and provide services for those who couldn't be served elsewhere. So it's just an overnight shelter. It's a low barrier. You can come under the influence as long as you are cooperative.
Right.
And have a safe, warm place to sleep. They're hoping to open in December this year. We'll be looking for volunteers here real soon.
All right. So my assumption is that's one of the answers you'll give to this next question, but how do we fix or address homelessness in Jefferson City?
It's going to take the whole community working together to do that. There's not a simple, single answer to that. And part of it is looking for where the gaps are and how do we fill those gaps. Mm-hmm. Boy, that's a hard question to answer.
Yeah.
You know, I think just from what little bit I see, and I have my hands on a lot of things, but I don't know that I consider myself an expert necessarily, other than my experience with the folks that we see on a regular basis. I think, again, some transitional housing would be a really helpful thing. Some of the folks that we see have been unhoused for years, and that's almost kind of a comfortable lifestyle for them.
Yeah.
And then there's others that we see that are newly out on the streets and seem very vulnerable, especially vulnerable to people that don't have their best interests at heart.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. So when you talk about transitional housing, what would that look like?
So transitional housing is really, it would be like a program that's some supportive resources. In some ways, the Salvation Army shelter works like that in a certain level, in that they have a case manager that works with the folks to connect with resources and help them move to some kind of housing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's some folks that I think need supportive services just to maintain their living. There are folks who are dealing with mental health conditions that need other supportive services.
Mm-hmm. So how do you think we're doing? Are we making any progress on this?
I think a little.
Okay.
I think my sense is that there's a growing awareness in the community about the needs and a willingness to work together.
Mm-hmm.
So Project Homeless Connect is an example. We had more volunteers there than we served. So I think people are interested and want to help. I think there's still the not in my backyard that is prevalent as well. And part of that is, I think, just from lack of experience. Mm-hmm. And as I've gotten to know our unhoused friends, I feel very comfortable around them. I don't feel threatened by by them. They're just people who are struggling with things.
Yeah.
Some by their own choice, some by circumstance. And I feel like there's a little shift away from that not in my backyard, although we still have some room to grow there.
Sure.
I think some of our challenges, and this is just my perspective and my opinion, is around housing. Until we can figure out housing that's affordable and then also housing that can help folks who want to transition out of homelessness and being unsheltered to a more stable situation. And again, it's going to take a whole lot of people working together to make that happen.
Sure. Well, and honestly, that's not going to address the entire homeless population.
Right.
There are going to be those who, as you mentioned, housing is not a concern or a desire. They're happy where they're at.
Right.
Are there efforts that you see underway to try to address those who are trying to transition into a housing, into a more stable environment?
Yeah. So Housing Community Jefferson City, which is now the 501c3 that is actually responsible for Project Homeless Connect and Jefferson City Room at the Inn. Part of the hope in that group is to work towards some transitional housing somewhere down the road. Also hoping to do a day center, which is a place where folks can gather, connect with resources, take showers, do laundry.
Mm-hmm.
Laundry is a big issue for our unhoused friends right now.
Sure.
There's no place they can go and get laundry done other than the laundromat, and you got to have money to do that.
Right.
So there's some conversations happening through that organization in particular to address that.
Okay. So it strikes me that there's an opportunity for the community to help.
Yes.
You know, that, as you mentioned, it's not one small group that's going to be able to address this. And so I guess my question is, how can the community, whether it's someone who has a heart to help as you do, or someone who's just, I'll just say, tired of walking by places and seeing homeless folks there and wanting the problem, quote, solved, all has the same goal, right? That they want a sustainable, safe environment for everyone in the community. Mm-hmm. What can the community do to help?
Yeah, well, get educated about the issue and ways to help. And again, there's all kinds of organizations you can be a part of. Housing the Community, Jefferson City, the Salvation Army, Catholic Charities. There's several organizations that are working toward that. So like their Facebook pages, follow them, look for opportunities to volunteer. There's plenty of opportunities to do that. When you hear of projects that are hopefully going to happen that need community support, speak in favor of those. Get educated about it. Money's also a way you can help too.
Sure. Yeah, I think obviously donations to any of those organizations obviously help. But then it always strikes me too that sweat equity, if you will, is also a valuable method.
Right.
And you don't have to be an associate pastor at First Methodist Church. You know, that is your part of your mission in service. You can volunteer a night at Room in the Inn, right? I mean, there are multiple entry points there, right?
Right.
At your own comfort level where you can serve in your own way.
Yeah.
And in our show notes, we'll have some links where folks can perhaps connect with Salvation Army, other groups that are targeting homelessness. We'll see if we can drum up a little bit of support.
That would be awesome.
All right. Karen, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google.